VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and we're back. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we were together the last few weeks, but in a different location. We're back in the studio today, where, in my humble opinion, we both look smarter and sound smarter.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Anyway, gosh, it's nice to be back. I was really happy with the technology, and Ellen did a great job while we were out. So we were able to pull it off with minimal downside. But you somehow get into a different mood, a whole different aura when you're in here, and this is what you're doing. There's nothing else going on, and it feels kind of good. So for all of you out there who listened through all of that, we thank you. The regulars, welcome back. We will keep doing this as long as we have regulars, that's for sure. If you're new to the show, just found it either by accident or if someone told you about it, try to stick around for the whole hour. We've got a lot of fun stuff today because it's been a pretty exciting week in the market. America's coming back to life. I mentioned to Adam when we got here that the world is back to normal because every idiot in the world's on Butler's going 95, 100 miles an hour, bobbing and weaving. Yeah, it's good to be back home.
It's true. It was nuts out there.
It wasn't 100% of the usual Saturday morning traffic, which is probably why they got away with it. But boy, are they out today. So if you're driving around, be careful.
Seriously. Just, you know, you can go how fast you want to go. Just don't hit anything.
Exactly. When I don't like the weaving. They don't leave enough room.
Nor do I.
Yeah. Anyway, complain, right? The world is rosy. We will have a trivia question right after the first break, of course, and I want to announce that we just ran into Mr. Bales in the parking lot, who gave us a bunch of back prizes that we owe people.
Bono's card, for some barbecue, and just in time for Bono's to reopen.
Yeah, how about that?
So, yeah, you can actually go in there, I believe. I haven't checked on that restaurant specifically, but they are allowed to reopen as of Monday, I believe it was.
Good.
Yeah.
Just don't try to go to the one at the town center.
Why?
It burned to the ground.
Did it really?
Yeah, about a month ago.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That crazy.
They'll rebuild it. It's a good location.
There's a bunch of other ones, so you have options.
Yeah. Anyway, for those of you, we've been promising every week, yes, we'll get this stuff and you will get it. Now you will get it. So fear not.
Yep.
Which means
we have a backlog and we will get it all.
Which means if you win today, you'll be one of the first ones that gets it too because we have a stash now.
That's
not wonderful. Anyway, this week in the market was a humdinger, and you might think that that's a little unusual. But there's a reason you would think that. It's because you're wrong.
Good explanation.
People have to live in today. It's kind of required when you wake up this morning that you live today. The market doesn't live today. The market lives 6, 9, 12 months out from today. And what it's telling us is very good news.
It is.
And it's almost always right long term.
It's amazing, actually, how correct it is.
Collective brain.
Many cases, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago the yield curve inverted last year, and no one could figure out, well, there were a lot of theories, but I didn't think any of them were correct. And it turns out I was right. None of those were correct. It was a virus that no one saw coming that threw us into a recession. But the yield curve correctly, once again, predicted a recession.
Yep.
And how did it know?
I have no idea.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, it's Trump's fault.
Well,
or is it Bush's? Is it still Bush's fault? Or is it Trump's fault? No. I don't remember. I lose track.
Whatever.
Time flies. Anyway, this week in the market.
Positivity was the word of the week, I think.
Every morning,
the futures were up 5 days in a row. They didn't, not every day closed up, but all 5 days went into the day with some optimism, which is very unusual.
Close up every day in the NASDAQ.
Yeah, that's true. But typically it's been almost a pattern of one up day, one down day, mm-hmm. one up day, one down day. And now this week really broke that. We saw some really nice gains across the board. NASDAQ added an incredible 6% in the week. Yeah. And the S&P added 3.5%. The Dow added 2.6%. The NASDAQ is now positive for the year.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about the week in the NASDAQ, too, it was up about 7%, roughly, but it was up over 1% every day. It wasn't just we had this gangbuster right. announcement one day that shot it up. It just kept growing.
Yeah, and there's really good reasoning behind why the NASDAQ is up, so mm-hmm. I'm going to get into that in a minute.
Good.
So the NASDAQ is up for the year. The Dow is still down close to 15%. The S&P is down just under 10% for the year. Still pretty amazing progress across the board, considering where we were just less than a couple of months ago. And the depths of how bad this recession is are just now becoming clear. And it is absolutely brutal.
Week in the jobs numbers.
Every report that came out this week, I feel like was the worst report in American history. I exaggerate to a degree, but
not much.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the reason that the NASDAQ is trading higher for the year, it's pretty clear. It's technology. Love it or hate it, some of the big tech companies like Amazon, Netflix, Google, and Microsoft are just almost custom made to operate in a post-COVID economy. Their products can be used as much or more if you're stuck at home. And that is the key.
And look at their sales and earnings.
Yeah, they didn't miss a beat.
You know, it's like what virus?
Yeah.
Only maybe better.
Amazon, their profit got eaten up a little bit by increased delivery costs. Yeah. But that's just, to me, they're just building for the future, as they always are. It's pretty incredible what they've put together
over there.
There's
no lack of things that they would like to get into. So no matter how much money you send them, they will be reinvesting it in some other portion of their business, some new business.
And that's not the end of this. There's going to be entire new industries that are going to spring up because of this pandemic. We were talking to some friends last night. They have offices that they work with that are in New York. In New York, they were trying to figure out how to return to normal. They can't afford to have their offices deep cleaned every night because the cleaning companies are charging a fortune.
Price gouging.
Well, they're in such demand. They're just, everyone needs them and there aren't enough of them. So that is an area that you're really going to see a lot of new industries, cleaning companies, sanitization companies, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a big industry, at least in the short run. I don't know how much in the long run, but it's something that is very badly needed, and it is very underserved as of right now. We saw some other companies go the other way this week. J.Crew was one of them that went bankrupt. Nordstrom decided to close some stores, and they are looking like they're on the verge of bankruptcy.
Neiman filed.
Yep. So there's a bunch of the restaurant chain that owns Brio. They filed a few weeks ago. But the trend is pretty clear. If you are a big box retailer with a lot of physical locations, you're probably, and you were already on your way out, this is probably what tips it.
Death by Amazon has just been accelerated a little bit among some of the retailers.
It's not like the pandemic can cause this. It's just the straw that broke the camel's back.
It's a catalyst for a lot of things that were going on anyway.
Right.
And you'll also see some of these people come back. But they'll be back under their reorganization plans from the bankruptcy with new financing and very, very much decreased physical presence.
Definitely. Yep.
And I think you're going to see this on every corner put a bank thing that's been going on since the 70s or so. I think you're going to see the debankanization, of America.
On every corner will be a cleaning company.
I saw it with Compass. They're closing their Enterprise Park one. We'll be right back and continue on this stuff. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour from the studio.
You can't see.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And before we pick up the telephone line, I did want to give out the trivia question. As always, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. The NASDAQ had a really good week, as we just mentioned, being up about 6 or 7%, and each day of the five it closed up more than 1%. If it does that on Monday, it's going to tie an all-time record, and if it were to do it Monday and Tuesday, it would set a new record of 1% up days consecutive. How many times in history has the NASDAQ closed higher than it closed yesterday? Just a whole number. That's it. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Greg. How are you today?
We are absolutely wonderful. And how are you?
I'm doing well. And thank you for your show. I'm calling in about our program here in Jacksonville, the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation, and as an inventor, it's a great place for local startups to try to build their business and get it launched locally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Greg, let me explain a little bit of what's going on. Greg calls the show regularly. He first called that I know of, it was probably more than a year ago, 2 years ago,
year and a half, maybe.
Something like that. And we had a guest on that day. It was a friend of mine named Craig, not Greg, Craig. And he is a venture capitalist. And Greg heard the show. He was sort of tinkering with a few different ideas and called that day and talked to my friend Craig, who gave him some advice on how to get started. And I think Greg ran from there. Well, we recently got back in touch with Greg and found out that he had started moving forward with his invention. And it was a pretty cool story. So I wanted to give Greg a chance to call in and tell us about what he's been doing. And what he's talking about now is a program, I believe, that's sponsored by UNF. Is that right, Greg?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so they put together this program that Greg is now a part of. And I wanted to hear more about it because it sounded really cool, as did his invention. So thanks for calling in today, Greg, and tell us a little bit more about what you've been up to.
Well, sure. Yeah, you know, going back a couple of years ago, I'm kind of a geeky kind of guy, and I love listening to your show about the stock market numbers and things. And you had Craig on the show, and it prompted me to call him because I've had over the years a bunch of ideas, and I've always been interested in maybe, you know, taking one of those ideas and patenting them and seeing how that would go. I remember talking to Craig, and I said to him, I said, is there any books out there or anything that you could, you know, suggest that can kind of help me along the way? And he mentioned a book by named Venture Deals by Bredfeld and Jason Mendelsohn. So I picked up the book, read it, and it's more or less my business Bible today.
Nice.
You know, if I have a question, I go to it. So from there, I, you know, followed through with my idea and filed last October, recorded two filings with the United States Trademark and Patent Office
for
a couple of patents, yes. And basically, while I was doing that, I was also I applied to the UNF Center. They had an open enrollment for startups, and over 100 local businesses applied. And out of the over 100, 14 of us got into the program, which were basically the freshman class.
Okay.
So, you know, they're fine tuning their program, and we get the use of the center downtown, and we also are able to work with many people in the industry that are, I would say, you know, highly successful names that. You know, come from very large companies. Some of them are local grown here, and some of them are just amazing, and they have amazing stories themselves.
That is really cool. So
it is,
and that is all put together by UNF. And you said there were 100 people that applied or so, and you were one of what, 14 that got accepted?
Yeah, there was actually over 100.
Okay.
I don't know the exact count, but yes.
Big old Shark Tank.
Yeah, congratulations. That's really amazing that you were able to get that opportunity. And so what is this thing that they have downtown? Is it a workspace for you? Is it an office or a warehouse or what is it?
So it is a workspace. It's in the Barnett Bank building. Mm-hmm. Downtown, on the corner of Adams and Laura. We are on the fourth floor, and it is a very nice, urban looking space, with plenty of room for all of us. We have meetings there. We, intermingle with people. There'll be guest speakers that come in. For instance, they had, Mike Bowling, who developed the Pound Puppy. You
okay.
may remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I do. I'm old enough to remember.
Yeah, he's a local guy here. Yeah, he's a local guy in Fernandina.
Who knew?
But anyways, yeah. and other people as well. So we get to hear their stories, and you know, you pick up little tidbits here and there along the way, and you try to incorporate that into your own startup. And it also helps, you know, motivate you and it's just exciting, and the talent that, you know, we have available to us is amazing.
Nice.
So what about financing? Are they involved in your early growth period?
So what's nice about this particular incubator is that there's no they don't take a financial position in your company. What they do is they bring in people who are part of the board of directors who may be interested in investing in your idea. So this is a year-long program. So it started in August. It'll probably, you know, because of COVID, I think it's going to go a little bit longer. But so they get you prepared to make that Shark Tank
pitch
presentation.
Or, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your elevator speech.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They sometimes they call it your two-minute elevator speech. If you're stuck in an exactly. elevator with an executive who might be interested, what do you say to him if you have 2 minutes?
Exactly.
Right, yeah, exactly. And if it's a short elevator, you better have a 15-second
yeah, exactly.
one available
exactly.
as well.
Yeah, the Reader's Digest version.
Exactly. So, yeah, that, and then they, you know, they bring in marketing people. For instance, in my case, the university is actually actively going out into the community and talking to a couple of marketing companies that will work with our ideas and our, you know, our biggest asset, right, is our patents.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, we will, you know, decide on whether we're going to license these to other companies, and we do have other companies interested, or whether we'll also do a direct-to-consumer. You know, everyone knows that the COVID-19 has thrown a monkey wrench into everything. And for us, literally, we were humming along the first part of March 2020. And I mean, really, you know, it was looking really good. Mm. And then, you know, they shut the country down, and then it shut us down. And because some of our potential manufacturing is in India, you know, that country shut down. So, you know, we've had to make some changes and had to rethink things and see how we're going to move forward. So, but we're still moving forward.
Well, you're on pause. The country's on pause, and pause doesn't go to stop until you run out of money. So the biggest thing that I see for anybody who's like you and is trying to get something launched is to try to find some way to not run out of money, because pause can hit restart real quickly.
It can.
And you're spot on. And you know that my wife and I lived through the Loma Prieta earthquake, and there was a lot of startups in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you know, and it just hit them like a ton of bricks. So we have. You know, we have experience of what happens to businesses that go through this. And so for us, because we're a startup, we're actually somewhat better off, I think, than some businesses that have already have, you know, a huge amount of investment into their either facilities, structures, their business. And now they have to go out and borrow money and then hopefully you know, that'll get them through the problem, because nobody really knows what it's going to look like in 60, 90, or a year from now.
That's right.
No doubt about it. Well, Greg, that is really, really cool. Congratulations on everything, and I hope it keeps going forward. And if it does, you absolutely have to call and keep us updated, because it's a great story. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I leave our email address?
Would you please just send it to info@VanWeFinancial?
Will do. Thank you.
And we'll get it out on the air, and we'll probably link to it from the website.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Now, we've talked a lot about the type of listeners we have. They're thoughtful and dedicated, all that stuff. This is a classic example, and if there's one thing I love, it's entrepreneurship, and it's alive and well. All right, we're going to take another little break. We'll come back and talk more about the market. We have other topics also, so don't go anywhere. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And a quick reminder that our trivia question is still out there. How many times in history has the NASDAQ closed higher than it closed yesterday? And now, speaking of Gregs and Craigs, good morning, Craig.
Steve, Adam, good to talk to you here.
Good to hear from you. Ohio. Good. Is it snowing up there?
No, I'm hoping for it, though. You know I love the snow. I was out skiing not too long ago, so yeah. I'll take it.
I assume not in Cincinnati.
No, but it did get down below freezing last night.
Oh.
So, you know, had to bring the plants in.
I would say I'm sorry, but I know you
around
actually
here,
like that.
Around here you hear a story like that, and we would say, Mayday, Mayday.
we would see Annie posting for 3 days about it.
True enough.
No doubt about it. How are things up there?
Good. I just was so excited to hear from Greg this week via email as he sent an email to you guys.
Uh-huh.
And,
yep.
Greg, I'm sure Greg's still listening. And it's just as Steve was ending the last segment, I couldn't agree with him more. Entrepreneurs are such a unique animal, a bird, risk takers that you know help build our economy and take such great risk. And there's not much more rewarding than hearing that someone who called into a program, I think I was down there in May of, what was that, 2018?
Yeah. It wasn't exactly 2 years.
Yep.
Yeah, for the tournament. And here you are with the help of Brad Feld and Jason Mendelson and a little advice from a guy in Cincinnati on the radio with some old friends. That's pretty damn cool, Greg. So congratulations.
Absolutely. And I knew you would appreciate that. So I'm glad you got to see you being on the show turn into something positive for somebody else. I think that's really cool. We're pretty excited about it.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I wanted to, as Greg is listening and other people out there across the land and in the internet realm, something Greg did that I think is really unique, and maybe it's just my old school nature, but somehow through county records, he found me through my, by the way, most folks call me Beach, just like Jack's Beach, so there's no Greg Craig confusion, but he found my name and address and wrote me a personalized thank you note.
I remember you telling us that.
And I felt bad because I lost the envelope, and I would have written them back. I just think there's something so unique about the paper, the opening the envelope. You incorporate more senses, so it's one thing to have a phone call. It's a whole other thing to get a handwritten thank you note in the mail. And I encourage entrepreneurs and sales marketing people across the land to always take the time, if you made an impact or someone made an impact on you, to let them know via the written word.
Yeah, so that absolutely. Really cool. That's good advice. And Beach's defense, he had a pretty traumatic experience in his apartment that I won't go into details, but it pretty much got destroyed. And it's not like he just misplaced the envelope.
It was
buried under a torrent of water. So
are you back in living normal again?
Yeah, for the most part, I moved back in like mid-March, but I spent about 250 nights in hotels last year racked up some points, and I never thought I'd have a hurricane here in my apartment, but that's what happens when it freezes and a fire suppression pipe bursts, and as Adam said, drops thousands of gallons of water through your place. So it's been a tough, long year, and I just made another trip around the sun. And I always listen to Jimmy Buffett and Martina McBride for that. And,
yeah.
we're back in, and, you know, my partner in Chicago, per our call with Greg, or my call with Greg, you know, we do have a full-scale, very small venture capital firm named Fountain Square Capital. And I know she's listening up there, her husband is, and, you know, we just finished a deal in January for a Ohio-based manufacturing company in the printing space who, as Greg alluded to, as he works on his intellectual property, that becomes a lot of the value in these startups, right? So if you're able to get the USPO, United States Patent Office, to review your technology, whether it be methodology and or specifically process around getting a patent, that really does become of interest to venture capitalists, angel investors, and really becomes a big part of the value in these early stage companies. Because if something may not work out, which we know this is extremely high risk investing only for accredited investors, just as a side note, as a definition for those listening, accredited investor, generally, if you're married, you have to make $300,000 a year for 2 years in a row and also have $1 million net worth, not including your primary residence. So basically the government, the SEC, is saying, hey, if you're going to take these high risk investments, we don't want some charlatan to take your money and send you to the poorhouse. But if you have that kind of capital, access to that capital, you're allowed essentially legally to take those kinds of risks.
But if you can't do that, just buy lotto tickets? Is that kind of the thinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
As my father, the entrepreneur, always said, the lottery, a tax for people bad at math. So the full name of that venture deals book by Brad Feld and Jason Mendelsohn is Be Smarter Than Your Lawyer and Venture Capitalist. And as Greg alluded to, it's become his business Bible. And that's the whole point is, as we talk about getting patents, and I don't know how much of the patent Greg wrote. I would imagine he probably got some help from a patent attorney locally there.
He didn't say, but I think he did. Yeah.
He's been around the block a couple of times.
It sounds like he's worn some tread on those tires.
Yep.
So it's just great to hear that, and I have to admit, it's a different feeling to be a part of something like that. You know, it's just such a different kind of reward than it is like earning money when you know you're helping others out there, and it's really cool. So, again, congratulations, Greg, and let's stay in touch.
Good deal. Thanks for calling in, Beachler. We appreciate it. And I'm just glad that all of us got to be a part of something like that. It's a pretty cool story, I thought.
And I wanted to say, you know, Van Wee Financial, Steve and Adam being RCIAs and doing incredible work out there for their community to help people build wealth and prepare for retirement. I told Adam this morning, I'm so proud of my niece, Katie, in Peoria, Illinois. Like, I get choked up, but she's... You know how like diligent I've been about investing.
Absolutely. You were investing when we were the first year we were out of college. You were the only one of my friends who was investing. So good for you.
So yeah, Katie's 17 years old, which, you know, you have to have a custodian account, but
right.
My brother,
not
my brother
for long.
Brett, yeah. Not for long. Right. When she's 18, but my brother, Brett, it's a kind of an arduous process. It's like a 19 page form.
Jeez.
For Vanguard, but I'm so proud of her. She put $2,000 into a Roth IRA on the 29th of April and bought as much VTI, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund.
Yep,
she
could. One of our favorites.
I think, you know, it's no load, low fees.
Yep.
And it's a DRIP, dividend reinvestment program or plan. And she bought as many shares at 146 as she could, and she's going to continue to invest in it. So, Katie and Brett, if you're out there listening, keep investing.
Nice. And she's probably done pretty well, too, I would imagine.
I bet she's had
a short
great
time.
Week. Yep.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah, I think she bought on 29 April, so I think it kind of bubbled up, percolated up a little bit from mm-hmm. that low in March with the C-19.
Right.
But I think it closed around the same price yesterday. But we know, as Warren Buffett talked about on Yahoo Finance for 5 hours last Saturday, value investing long term, you can't predict the day-to-day variations, but we know that over time the market's going to give you great returns,
and you know about 20 to 25%, maybe even a little more depending on the year, of the return in the big stocks, S&P 500 notably, has been through dividends and accumulation and reinvestment. So she'll do a lot better than just looking at the basic index if she keeps up this process.
You're right, the numbers don't lie.
They never do. Yep. And her best friend is a low market, so she keep putting money in, keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good. Impressive. I'm proud of her. So, hey, thanks. Thank you guys so much. And I'm sure we'll get back together here and talk some VC stuff on another program.
That sounds good. You're welcome anytime, Craig.
Always fun to hear your voice. Thanks for the call.
Cheers. Bye.
You guys go back a ways, don't you?
We do. We go back a long ways.
It's almost scary when you think about how far back you go, because that makes me old.
No doubt about it. We're actually roommates one of our first years out of college, so that's been a long time.
Yeah. Boy. Anyway, well, that was fun. That was a nice little exchange back-to-back from an event that happened a while back. We probably have a few more comments on the market as soon as we get back. The trivia question is still open. And then we have some little topics, or we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about if you pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, and you will go to the head of the class as always.
Now,
first rule of the show.
At some point, we should probably talk about the unemployment reports if we have.
Oh, doing so well at postponing that discussion,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but we should.
Yeah, well, you're talking about a lot of real honest-to-goodness people being big affected and infected.
No doubt.
Problem. So, yeah, we'll get into that after the break. So rest up, sit down, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And a reminder, trivia question is still open. How many times has the NASDAQ closed higher than it did yesterday? We had an off-air caller come in at 45, and we told him it was significantly too high.
Yep.
So, and you know it's more than zero, so
you've got
we have a bracket.
That's right.
All right, lines are open, 222-8255. All right, what do you want to say about jobs that...
Well,
what can you say about jobs? How about that?
I will say that the report was better than the expectations.
That was optimistic of
you. That didn't make it good in any way, but it was fully expected. So yeah. This surprised nobody. The unemployment rate jumped from record lows to record highs in 1 month. This never happened. It was the worst report in the history of the report, probably in the history of the country.
Most recessions are naturally occurring parts of the business cycle.
Yep.
This one was artificial. So it's apples and oranges. You look at any place in history, try to compare this to it, and it's an invalid comparison.
The biggest surprise to me was not that leisure and hospitality was the industry that lost the most people. That was expected. Millions of jobs were lost in manufacturing, retail, but also in healthcare. Now, that to me says we're doing this wrong.
We're doing it way wrong.
Yeah, that's just not right. People that can help solve this problem are getting laid off. That makes no sense. We need to figure this out, and we need to figure it out yesterday.
Mayo was projecting a $2 billion shortfall for the year, so they furloughed a lot of people for a few weeks.
It was bigger than two. I think it was three or four.
It could be.
3 point something.
Now they're estimating now they can get it down under a billion.
Yeah.
But people are dying from non-elective or from elective surgeries that didn't happen. Elective is not the same thing as cosmetic. You need a biopsy. You need a biopsy.
Yeah, if you're having a heart attack or chest pains, you need to go to the ER and not be scared that you're going to catch another disease. You need to go.
Yeah, we had a friend go to the ER this week, and his wife had to drop him off at the door and leave.
Yeah, that's the new procedure.
You don't want to be with your spouse. You can't be with your spouse at a time like that.
I mean, I think one thing, another discussion I was having this week, there are going to be things that change because of this. I think that ER procedures are going to be one of them. Sitting people in a common room when they come into the ER with a bunch of other people
always
who are sick
been a bad idea.
It never made sense to me, and it really doesn't make sense now. I think that's going to change. The procedures of how people get admitted, I think that might change. There's a lot of things that are going to change. There's also a lot of things that people are saying are going to change that I don't think are going to change. Well, kids are going to go back to school.
Yeah. After 9/11, look what everybody said. It'll never be the same.
Right.
It didn't take long.
No. I mean, driving around yesterday, you could see it. The people were everywhere.
Yeah.
Everything is getting back to not normal, but more crowded than it was a week ago, not quite where it was 2 months ago. But people are antsy. I mean, our memories are short. We know that. people are going to get back to some semblance of normal here, and it's not going to take nearly as long as what you might think.
Yeah, we're very resilient in large numbers. You can see it through the protests.
Yeah,
the protests on the get back to work side are a heck of a lot bigger and stronger than the protests on the lock us up side.
I mean,
you want to be locked up? Do it yourself.
You can do
that.
Don't
tell me.
That is an option, but we have to do it responsibly, but.
Yeah,
there's a certain amount where people just won't stay home anymore, and you have to realize that.
Yeah, how about get thrown in jail for 7 days for cutting somebody's hair?
Well, it didn't turn out to be seven. She got pardoned, so.
Well, yeah, that's my whole point. You had to have interference. Good morning, Larry.
Gentlemen, quick guess on your trivia.
Sure. Yes.
22.5.
It's a whole number, but that doesn't matter because you're high either way you look at it.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, NASDAQ's rolling, my friend. No doubt about it.
Start your engine.
You got it.
All right.
I like your attitude.
Hang in there. Hey.
Appreciate the call.
The heat, get out of the kitchen.
Love it. Take care. I told you, talk radio listeners are just the greatest audience ever.
And that was smart to guess a half number because then you got credit for both sides.
Well, I'd go plus or minus one on the answer anyway, but it was still a little too high even on the low side of that.
Yep.
So it has not happened all that often.
So there was another bullish sign this week, too. I don't know if you caught it, but investors are getting really bearish.
52% bears
and
under 25% bulls and agnostics.
So typically when you see a spread of more than 25% on those two numbers in that direction,
buy.
That's a good sign for the market going forward because investors almost always get it wrong. It's just
as
the way that things always work. Yep.
It's funny, too, because you add up a bunch of individuals and you get wrong answers. You add up the entire market and you get right answers.
That's right.
And it seems like maybe just an order of magnitude thing, which it probably is.
No doubt about it. And the other thing I want to talk a little bit about was Google searches and some
trends. I was hoping to get to this.
So there actually, before I even get to that, there were some other, a few other positive things I caught this week. I'm trying to pick out some positive things because that was kind of the mood of the week. And it's really hard to find them, but they are out there. So during the week ending Saturday, May 2nd, 939,790 passengers went through TSA checkpoints at airports, and that is up 26% from the prior week and up 40% from 2 weeks ago.
Good.
So people are feeling a little more confident about getting on airplanes.
Good.
The amount of gas has grown, supplied to consumers has grown for 3 weeks in a row.
And reflected by a rise in oil price.
Yeah, it's up 16% in those 3 weeks. The hotel occupancy and rail car traffic are both up from a month ago. Mm. And so these things are starting to trend in that direction. More cars on the road. And let's see here. So Apple Maps puts out data for their routing requests in their app. And in mid-April, both walking and driving requests were down by roughly 60% from January.
Oof.
As of Saturday, walking and driving requests were only down 29% and 16%. So driving requests only down 16% from January. That's telling me there's a lot more cars on the road than there were a month ago.
Yeah, and it's very obvious if you get out at all that there's a lot more traffic.
No doubt about it. So let's see. I need to find – oh, here's a good one too. speaking of companies that are taking advantage of the shutdown, if you have young boys in your house, you know the game Fortnite. Fortnite players logged 3.2 billion hours on the game in April. That's over 36,500 years of gaming condensed into 1 month. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're doing okay. Interesting. But lots of cool data out there right now. None of it is economic data, but some of the Google searches that we're seeing, for instance, vacation or Googling flight activity peaked right before all the shutdowns started and that were announced and then started because they think that people were looking at ways to get home who were stranded overseas or on vacations.
Sure.
And then it dipped off, but now it's starting to come back and we're seeing it bounce back significantly. Over the last couple weeks in particular, and people are actually booking vacations for later in this year.
Good.
So, and they can tell all that from Google searches.
Good.
The other one, dental appointments, way down. Search for dentists have plunged. During this time of year, they're normally pretty stable, and they've gone, they're at multi-year lows. No one is looking for a dentist right now.
I am. So. I've got one, but he isn't open yet.
The thing that has peaked because of that are Google searches for bad breath. And I'm not kidding. Solving for bad breath.
I'm trying to relate that to anything that's going on here.
So one of the things that has been in an uptrend, and Angela and Howard will like this, is Google searches for buying houses.
Yeah, Howard was going through some stats on that.
I heard him. Yeah. But
it's sounding a little, actually, it was Angela going through them. But anyway, the numbers were sounding somewhat improved in the local market anyway.
They don't know if that will turn into actual sales or people are just bored and looking at alternatives to their house because they're so tired of their house. But
home improvement, though, is a biggie right now.
It is. And if you've been to Home Depot or Lowe's lately, you can tell because they are slammed. And Google's for searches for Home Depot are through the roof right now, too. So just some interesting data that I've seen over the last couple of weeks that really points to the way things are changing, how things are getting better, and how we're going to get out of this shutdown.
First time I remember talking about Google searches as a harbinger of what's going on was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, as this thing was just getting really oppressive. And the Google search was coming up for dividend decreases, dividend cuts, things
dividend
like that.
Dividend cuts, yeah.
And we have seen them. They're alive and well, and they will be for a while, suspensions or whatever. Anyway, the NASDAQ has only closed higher than it closed yesterday 15 times in history. If we get a couple good days this week, we are not all that far from having the NASDAQ go into new record territory. I'm not predicting it because I can't. But just say, could be. We'll tell you next week, same time, same station. Thanks for being here today. We'll see you then. This is the Ben.